Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Maloney, you represent West Point in your congressional district. So how does the sequester impact the military?
Well, West Point takes a pretty serious hit in sequester, and it's something we're working very hard on. There are over 2,000 civilian workers at West Point who could be given furlough notices on April 5th. So this is a real issue, and we've just written a letter. My office sent a letter to the new Secretary of Defense, Secretary Hagel, and the President yesterday, asking for maximum flexibility in how those cuts are implemented, because these are real people and real jobs in the Hudson Valley. There's another 400 or so at Stewart Air National Guard Base, but I'm very concerned about West Point. I spent a full day out there about a month ago talking about this and all the other issues there. It's a national treasure, but it's also a critical local employer, and it's being singled out in a very serious way in sequester.
You know, their generals and everybody in charge of West Point, are they contacting you and saying, can you help us out here?
Well, look, we have the best military in the world, and those guys are going to salute and say yes, sir, and get it done. So it's not their job to complain to their superiors about, you know, the dumb decisions that Congress is making. It's my job as the elected representative to say, what is this going to do? How is it going to impact you guys? And when you ask good questions, you know, they'll give you an honest answer, but it is not in their culture to complain about it. That's why they're the best military in the world. But we can do a lot better by our military academy, and we could have implemented these cuts in a much more intelligent way. And that's what I'm asking the Pentagon and the President to do.
Now, your district, of course, Sean Maloney, has liberal pockets, and it has, you know, West Point in it, which is concerned with the military. And sometimes you get a different approach from other places. Does that put you in playing monkey in the middle?
No, it puts me where most Americans are, which is we respect our military, we depend on it for our freedoms, we honor the service and sacrifice of the people who serve in the military. We've had 1% of the population fighting our wars for 10 years now, and those sacrifices are extraordinary. I was able to meet with a group of veterans in Wappingers Falls earlier this week. I presented a flag, actually, that we flew over the Capitol to the parents of a man killed in Vietnam, a guy named Wayne Whiteley, whose mom and dad are in a senior center in Wappingers Falls. His dad was actually a Marine as well. His brother was there. You know, the point is to keep remembering the service and the sacrifice of our military and to keep faith with that. That means we've got to, when we do things like these budget conversations, we've got to do them smart, and we've got to use a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. Sequester is a sledgehammer, and it's a dumb idea, and we're going to see its impact on West Point. I hear a lot of people out there saying, well, sequester's not that big a deal. Well, it's a big deal if you talk to the 2,000 families that are going to be affected out there in West Point.
So let's stay with the sequester as a larger issue. You say it's a dumb idea, and no matter what side you're on, the Republican side or the Democratic side, you know, it may be that some of the people over to the right think that some of the domestic programs, it's okay to do that, but not to the military, and vice versa, you know, from the others. Is there any chance, looking at sequester as a concept, that there are enough people who are ticked off about the whole thing to see some movement, or is everybody just going to stay put in, you know, in their sandpit?
Well, we've made a little bit of progress. The continuing resolution passed by the House, and then the version that came over from the Senate, which also passed the House, take some of the dumber things in sequester and make them a little bit better. They plus up some of these accounts.
What does that mean? Pentagon. What's plus up mean?
It means that they give some additional flexibility and add a little additional money in places like the Otisville Correctional Center, places like the Pentagon that should provide some flexibility to do this more intelligently. And that's why I wrote a letter to the President and to the Secretary of Defense yesterday, asking them to use that additional authority in a way that will help our folks locally in the Hudson Valley. Look, I hope people remember. I mean, you know, I was part of the Clinton team. We balanced the budget. There is a way to do this and to take it very seriously. We did it by cutting domestic and defense spending, by putting revenue on the table, but also growing the economy. And my point is, we have now cut, in just about 18 months, the last Congress and this one, we've now cut something like $2.9, almost $3 trillion in discretionary spending from defense and non-defense, and we've put about $600 billion in tax increases on the table. The last Congress did that on their last day on the very top 2% of taxpayers, and that means we've reduced our debt and deficit by somewhere between $3.5 and $4 trillion, with a T, in just the last 18 months, over the next 10 years. And that is real cutting. And it's good that we're bringing down our debt as a percentage of GDP, but we need to go about it the right way. And we have a blueprint for this in the way we did it in the Clinton administration. And the critical thing we're missing is that we've got to bring job growth back. We've got to put people back to work, and we've got to keep investing in stuff like infrastructure, especially the Tappan Zee Bridge, things like basic research, education, things that train and support our people so we can have economic growth and job creation. And I just think that's the piece the Tea Party and these conservative folks in Washington are missing. They worship at the altar of budget cuts, but I think they forget sometimes why they're doing it.
You have referred several times to your work with the Clinton administration, so I wanted to ask you, historically, what allowed for that kind of cooperation at that time that is not existent today? Is it just the existence of the Tea Party?
Well, you had a little more cooperation after 96, but if you remember, the first Clinton budget was passed in 1993 without a single Republican vote, and they said the sky was going to fall. But credit where credit is due, the first President Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, passed a budget in 1990 that also was a balanced approach of budget cuts and revenue increases. It's why, if you remember, he took a lot of grief from extremists on the right wing. We do have a different situation now, where the Tea Party tail is still wagging this dog, and we've got 150 guys in the House of Representatives who voted against Sandy relief, who voted against Violence Against Women Act, who voted against raising the debt ceiling. So we have an extreme outburst right now in the Republican Party. I think we've seen the worst of it, but we've been having this fight right here in the Hudson Valley. I mean, the person I defeated last year wanted to end the guaranteed benefit of Medicare while giving huge tax cuts to multimillionaires. You know, she's going to run again. So it's, you know, we're still having this debate, but we need to be clear with folks. We can reduce our debt and deficit, grow the economy, and do it the right way. We've done it before, and we just need to make better choices.
You just told me something I didn't know, that Nan Hayworth was going to run another time. Is this news, or did we just sort of, or is that what you're just speculating?
Well, about? I don't want to make news for her, but I think she's out there telling everybody she's running, and I just mentioned that because it what it means is that there's a group in the Hudson Valley that thinks that, you know, Medicare is the problem, that thinks that Social Security is the problem, that thinks that we need to balance the budget on the backs of seniors and women and infant children programs and opposes the Violence Against Women Act and wants to defund Planned Parenthood. These are extreme positions, and I see them on the floor of the House of Representatives every day. And it diminishes the work of the serious people in Congress who say, of course we need to cut spending. Of course we need to get the waste and the fraud and all the nonsense out of the federal programs where there's duplication. I'm working on legislation with the No Labels group that I joined that would implement a series of recommendations by the Government Accounting Office that details billions and billions of dollars of waste and fraud and duplication. We should do those things, but we ought not to engage in this ideological holy war that says that, you know, seniors who count on Medicare are the problem. They're not.
And when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about your No Labels group. It's very interesting to me. Thank you, Sean Patrick Maloney. It's wonderful to talk to you, and we're wonderful that you've given us all this time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.